Good morning again. It's your friend Dan in the lively and wonderful neighborhood of Little Saigon in Seattle. That's Seattle, Washington, for those of you, you know, east of the Cascade Mountains. And yeah, here's another podcast, but I think this one's going to be kind of dark, which is funny coming from me, right? Kind of dark. I don't know. I think a lot of my podcasts have a rather interesting perspective on life, and one could be accused, like myself, of being a bit too dark all the time. But relative to many of my podcasts, this could be dark. Now, if you've noticed a bit of an upswing in my mood, it isn't because I have money to pay for rent. I don't. What I think it is something similar to a phenomena that many experts in, I think it's called thaumatology or the science of death, have analyzed that when a person is dying right before the end, they often experience a resurgence of health, just enough happiness and physical well-being to have that last conversation with the people they love. I believe my sister Nancy had a similar experience like that before she died, a last brief moment before she experienced a massive brain hemorrhage and then simply drifted away. So if you want to attribute the tone of my voice as some sign of happiness or joy, you're free to do so. But my situation is just as messed up as it was yesterday. And though it is maybe more likely than not that I will take up a sibling on the offer of staying with them for a while, I figure this is the last person on earth who's welcome I haven't totally worn out yet, and I'm not sure how much of that lasts. And I'm not sure if I'm willing to give up on my pride. You know, what dignity I have left, the little tiny sliver of dignity I have left. I'm not really sure if I can do this. But assuming I can shred away some final dignity, I guess I have the option of staying with a sibling for a while and trying to get back on my feet again as I bottom bounce through existence. But that's not the topic of this podcast. My own dire straits are not your problem. If you happen to live in the Seattle area and have a spare $1,000, yeah, I could use your fucking help. I certainly don't want to, you know, lose my apartment. I don't want to end up in a worse situation, but nobody does. And I made my choices. On September 21st, 2018, I could have been like most people, taken the rebar up the asshole, taken the abuse of the H-1B visa Chinese Asian gay fuck. I could have been okay with the weird touching and the bullshittery. And I might even still to this day be a contractor at Alaska Airlines, that fucking madhouse. But Dan chose his existentially important mindfulness dignity over his job, and Dan, maybe from one perspective, chose wrong. I really don't know. If the choice is between being a zombie or being a human being, and the zombie gets to live a long time and the human being may be gone in the blink of an eye, I guess being a human being is something I'm choosing to be. And sort of like those post-apocalyptic films, a trilogy of the trilogy, right? You know, Omega Man, Soylent Green, and the very first Planet of the Apes film, Charlton Heston. Kind of like Charlton Heston and Omega Man, I find myself at this moment to be the last person on Earth. I know that's not true. I interact with a few people online I know are there. They're people, they're real, they're trying to exist. So there are people hanging on. I just don't know how much longer I can hang on if I disappear or dissipate into the ether. Don't judge me too harshly. If you want to call me a loser, I'm okay with that. In technical terms, I've been losing my whole life. But this podcast is not about me being a pathetic loser. That would take several hours of podcasts, and many of those have already been created. This podcast is about the warmongering with Iran. Now, I have to tell you guys that I am not defending the Iranian Islamic Republic. I'm not defending whichever mullah is currently telling people what to think and say. I'm not a big fan of any governments, and that includes the government in Iran. But I find it comical that the United States accuses Iran of threatening the peace in the Persian Gulf and the Middle East when it seems like all we've been doing for at least 20 years, probably 30 years, probably longer, is fucking with the Middle East, dropping bombs on people, toppling governments, committing acts of torture, working with Israel to be total assholes, and yet we go around accusing other people of being dangerous and threatening the peace. This is very much the doublespeak of government in general. They'll tell you while they're beating you to death that you were threatening them. They'll tell you as they bust down your door and shoot up your dog or cat with a machine gun that you were being threatening. You were hurting them. Well, it sucks, but that's it. But here's the thing. Even if the American people, and in many ways we're talking about the Trump voters, because the Trump voters are the most recent voters to be duped, just like the left and the Democratic Party in 2008 with Obama. I really think Trump was a kind of made-up candidate to basically keep people from revolting, except for in 2016, it wasn't the left. It was the right. It was the people who wanted to make America great again. Of course, if you're a Native American in the 19th century with a time machine, and somehow you arrive and listen to this bullshit, you might wonder what the fuck making America great again means. If you're an African American from the 1950s and you arrived in the future in a time machine, you might seriously consider what the fuck making America great again means. But really, assuming there was some magical period of time when America was a wonderful place, like the 1950s, a decade after every other major industrial power was pounded into dust from B-17s and B-25s, yeah, okay. It turns out that if you blow up half the fucking world and you drop a couple nukes on the only Christian cities in Asia, pretty much, or at least the most populous Christian cities, it turns out that once you make that deal with Satan, you very well have, you might have a decade of good white people having a good white time. But other than that reality, some of us suspect that there never was a golden age, that story is bullshit, that making America great again is really just an imperial scream. I am beginning to think I believe Trump was bullshit from the beginning, but I'm thinking that the Trump supporters are so deluded and so confused that they will jump on the Iran war train. I promise you that Q, whatever Q is, will publish some secret missive on 4chan or 8chan telling people that somehow Hillary is working with the Iranians to topple our government, and they'll buy into whatever crooked bullshit they're sold. But even with that, even with Q and the nonsense that comes out of Trump's mouth and all the other bullshit, I still think it's not enough. If you were to tell me, what do we need? What do we really need if we want to have some major war with Iran? Well, it's not that complicated. It's the same shit we needed in 1990 with the young woman talking about, you know, Saddam Hussein tossing babies out of incubators, or 9/11, and somehow, well, Saddam Hussein was responsible for that, so we need to obliterate Iraq. And then every other country. Oh, Gaddafi under Obama. Gaddafi was so fucking terrible. He wanted to basically get his people off the dollar. He wanted to issue gold-backed currency. Gaddafi was so terrible that he didn't want chaos and bullshit in his country of lots of people being murdered and raped as they are today. So what we really, really need if we want to have a good old-fashioned war with Iran is a false flag, some event. And when I say false flag, keep in mind, I think Americans are burnt out. They're burnt the fuck out. They are suffering from thyroid burnout, fear burnout, James Lang fight or flight burnout. So whatever jumped the shark, fucking false flag, comes next. It's got to be big. And I don't mean in a linear sense. I mean in an exponential or logarithmic scale sense. It's got to be 100 times worse than what happened on 9/11. Well, that's not very complicated. What would be worse and what would truly cement American support for a war with Iran would be some sort of a nuclear weapon, definitely a fission device, because a fusion device would give away the deal. If you don't know much about the history of nuclear weapons, you should know this. Technologically speaking, it's easier to get to a fission device than a fusion device. A fusion device is the next level up. You need to solve the problem of the fission device to be able to build a hydrogen bomb. Every hydrogen bomb has an initiator bomb in it, or a first stage, and the first stage is a fission device that superheats, and I think it is tritium, but superheats tritium to temperatures that cause fusion and create an even greater explosion. That is a relatively simple description of a hydrogen bomb. So whatever nuclear weapon is used in the coming false flag, it cannot be a hydrogen bomb. The signature of hydrogen bombs are too easy to detect. So it will likely be a fission device within that range of 10 to 20 kilotons, not unlike the bombs we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. And the question comes to mind, well, where will this device be used? Now, I was interacting with a fellow on Zero Hedge just a while back, maybe just a number of minutes ago, and he made the excellent point that instead of it being a city that we simply don't give a fuck about, it might very well be a place that we do care about. And symbolically speaking, and I think that the people that more or less pull the levers, they love their little symbols. They love their little tricks. Symbolically speaking, especially in terms of Nostradamus bullshit, New York City would be a great choice. Now, you would say, well, Dan, didn't they already do a terrible false flag in New York City? Well, that statement is true. But that doesn't mean they won't go back to the source. I mean, there's a reason why an actor like Bruce Willis will be in so many movies. There's a reason why Hollywood can't stop rebooting the fucking Star Wars franchise. It turns out that old sloppy shit, as terrible as it might be, is tasty to the buffoons and the gawkers and the stragglers of the human bizarre world out there that so many Americans are so mentally deformed from propaganda and fluoridated water and aluminum falling from the sky that they more or less don't have the brain cells to rub together. So using New York again actually makes a lot of sense. So this is where I would correct myself. But how would you do it? Recently, it has been reported that the United States is working on a new generation of small nuclear weapons, specifically small fission devices, probably, because, you know, I would say tuning a hydrogen bomb to something below 50 kilotons is a practice in insanity. It's much more likely that some sort of super refined plutonium, or maybe even a more interesting element that we're not aware of, would be the likely source of the micro nukes. But these micro fission devices in the 5 to 10 kiloton range would be perfectly suited to kick off a false flag in New York City. Now, then the next question comes to mind. What neighborhood would you choose? And I'm not from New York, so I can only discuss, you know, pop culture bullshit. I've only been to New York City once. I went there with my mom and my sister in 1988 to visit another sibling there. And what's funny is I actually went up in the World Trade Center. Like, I'm one of those few Americans, and I say few because as the years go on, it'll be fewer and fewer. I'm one of those few Americans who can say that they've been to the observation level of one of the World Trade Center buildings. I didn't go up in both of them, but I went up in one of them. I stood on that little ledge and looked out the window. I even still have foggy memories from so long ago of that experience, you know, more than three decades ago. What neighborhood, which neighborhood in New York City if you were using a late generation fission device, which also means potentially not simply low yield, but maybe more of a neutron bomb, and probably, if it's designed correctly, it could be a weapon that has a low residual radiation signature, which means that compared to Hiroshima or Nagasaki, which, if you don't know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, within 10 years after they exploded, these are places that people were building on again. I mean, ultimately, fission devices, as nasty as they aren't really quite as nasty as the hydrogen bomb. The hydrogen bomb is a whole nother level of bullshit. The weapons we used at Hiroshima and Nagasaki were between 15 and 20 kilotons, depending upon the expert you listen to. One of the first hydrogen bombs tested, in fact, I should back up, one of the first tritium-boosted fission devices was 200 kilotons, I think up to 300, and one of the first formal hydrogen bombs tested was multiple megatons. So the difference between a fission device, which, as stated, you need a fission device to create a hydrogen bomb. The difference is many orders of magnitude. It's huge. It's not just a little different, it's hugely different. So no. It wouldn't be a hydrogen bomb. It would be a small fission device. And it might be, and I'm using sarcastic quotes here, it might be a relatively clean fission device. These late generation fission devices are really neutron bombs. It's one of those things they don't like talking about because supposedly Jimmy Carter outlawed all US research into neutron bombs back in the late 70s. Now, those of us who've been in the military and have read a book, we know this is probably bullshit. But yeah, supposedly, we don't have any neutron bombs. But it might be something that's more akin to a neutron bomb, so that, once all the tears have been shed and once all the hatred has exploded and once Iran is turned into a plate of glass on some level, we can start building condos again. And we can have a little reflecting pool, and we can all congratulate ourselves on how awesome and exceptional we are once we've killed millions of Iranians. If a 15 or 20 kiloton bomb went off in any of the neighborhoods of New York, probably between 10 and 20,000 people would be dead almost instantly, depending upon the day of the week. Maybe the number would be smaller. It really depends upon the neighborhood. If it was used at a port facility, the deaths might be less, and given that a lot of port facilities are shutting down, it's not implausible that they would use a port facility to do their little false flag. It's actually kind of a multi-benefit scenario. There simply isn't the need any longer. If you've worked in the around the container industry, there simply is not the need any longer for all the port facilities we have. So sorry, but two things have been happening with respect to global transport. One is there isn't as much as there used to be, or at least not as much as we'd expect in terms of flow. That's number one. And frankly, a lot of that's due to a lot of central bank chicanery, all those ships floating around. But two, container ships have gotten gargantuan, and they're only getting bigger. And there really isn't the need for as many port facilities, just a few big ones capable of mass volume. Seattle, for example, has a port facility that is slowly winding down. There just isn't the need in the Puget Sound for a major port facility in Tacoma and Seattle. So at some point in time in the near future, it's possible that one of those port facilities will shut down. And for property speculators, properties for shelter speculators, people who speculate in human shelter because, like water and food, why not? For the shelter speculators, those fucking evil pieces of shit, they look at a port facility as a huge possibility. They see condos, they see boardwalks, they see all kinds of crazy ass shit. It's the same reason why they're shutting. They're gonna shut down. I think they've already done it, but they're gonna shut down the Alaskan Way Viaduct in Seattle, because basically rich people, Microsoft people, Amazon people want to turn the city of Seattle into another kind of boardwalk city with condos and apartments and high-rise hotels and all kinds of wealthy bullshit. So the question is, is if a small fission device is used in New York City, which neighborhood, which location would it hit? Because it wouldn't destroy all of New York. It might not even spread, it would spread fallout, but it might not spread a lot depending upon how it's ignited. And it would probably have relatively local damage with, a little bit of fallout, probably scatterings of cancer, but given how good our society is now at covering up cancer due to radiation, I mean, come on, guys. How many weird fish kills do you have to read about in the Seattle Times before you begin saying, well, maybe it has something to do with Fukushima? People don't fucking care. People don't fucking get it. I would say most of you are zombies. I'm sorry. I know it's a shitty thing to say, though if you're listening to me, you might be a subset of people who are kind of aware. But no, a lot of people are just walking around staring at their fucking phone, and they will believe whatever nutty bullshit they're told by the government. So I believe that the crocodile, the US government, is intending to go to war with Iran. All of the bullshit from Trump about not wanting to get involved in wars is really just bullshit. What's going on in Syria isn't so much about America voluntarily reducing its empire, but essentially taking its resources and putting them someplace else, getting ready for someplace else. Where in New York City, if you were going to carry off a nuclear false flag, if you were going to carry out that, where in New York City would you set off the fission device? I think that a port facility would be a great choice, as stated. It provides a multi-benefit scenario, as I stated. If you're a property speculator and you understand the container industry and what's happening to it, the port facility could be perfect. It immediately shuts down the port facility. It certainly gets rid of a lot of quote unquote useless eaters. It still probably ends up killing thousands of people, but maybe not tens of thousands, or at least not immediately. It does spread cancer, but nah, you know what? Just give people a picture of a cat, a YouTube video of a cat, and they won't think so much about the cancer. So that's what I would bet on. I would bet a port facility strike with a fission device by the US government to act as a casus belli, or a casus bellum, if I'm remembering my Latin from just war theory correctly, as a principal reason for war. And like I said, I think the American people are fried off of the fear-mongering. They're fried off of the 9/11 bullshit. They're fried off of the code orange, code red, code yellow. They're fried off of the TSE shoving rebar up their assholes. They're so fried in that James Lang, your thyroid is burned out sense, that whatever false flag comes next, I do believe it has to be way worse than crashing a couple of buildings in New York City. You really have to do something huge, in that sort of Donald Trump sense. Spelled, YUUGE. It has to be huge. It has to be gigantic. And what's bigger? What's more spectacular? What's more in line with a Vegas gala than a fission device going off? So that's my good news report about the coming future. And I guess I would leave it with this. I'm not a big fan of Nostradamus. I actually created my own quasi prophecy that started on my blog many years ago called Clownadamus, which is available for free off my website or off of Amazon Kindle, the Quatrainium of Clownadamus. So I'm not a huge fan of Nostradamus, but there is that kind of belief that the new city will be hit by some type of nuclear weapon, and this presages the coming age of the end times. And since the powers that be seem to have a penchant for a lot of Judeo-Christian apocalyptic thinking, I think that also adds to the mix. I think a small nuke going off in New York sort of, it fits with the narrative. And if anything, if the United States of America is anything these days, it's about a lot of competing narratives. And the government wants you to buy its narrative. Iran is bad. Iran is terrible. Iran is threatening the peace in the Middle East, not the United States, not Israel. Not the United States going around blowing up countries, setting people on fire. Not the Hillary Clintons and the Obamas of the world saying, boy, we're so glad we killed Gaddafi. No, no, no. It's not the United States that's creating chaos in the Middle East. It's Iran. That does not imply, with all the sarcasm layered on, that I think Iran is, or I should say the Iranian government is innocent. I don't believe any government is innocent. It just implies that basically, if you were going to stake, you know, point to an institution to blame primarily for the chaos in the Middle East, I would not blame the Iranians first. I'd blame Israel and the United States. So if you live in New York City, I would keep track of your tabloids. If all of a sudden you read about some big affair where all the really fancy people are leaving, or a bunch of actors and actresses who might be in the know committing suicide, because I have no doubt that people at the top levels, there's a few people still with a soul. If you read articles about that, if you read articles that lead you to believe that the rich and powerful are fleeing New York City for the weekend to go someplace special, then, or if you're in the know and you simply know that people are leaving for a while, that might be a good time to, you know, head to the Catskills, to head to Ohio, to head east. Or excuse me, head west, or east if you have a boat. But it might be a good time to get the fuck out of New York City.